When we come to the stories of the birth of Jesus, what we call the infancy narratives, we often tend to bring together, to conflate the two different accounts. The one that we find in the Gospel of Luke, where Joseph and Mary are already living in Nazareth, and that they go to Bethlehem because of the need to go and register for the census. In Matthew's Gospel, it seems that Joseph and Mary are already living in Bethlehem. There are no shepherds, and it's simply that they give birth at the appointed time. And at some period later, this star arises and beckons from the far distant east, probably from the kingdom of Babylon, this group of magi who come to pay him homage. And that this is up to 2 years later, after the birth of Jesus, because we read at the end of this chapter 2 that Herod, of course, decrees that all children up to 2 years of age should be put to death. It's important to recognize what both St. Luke and St. Matthew are doing in telling the story of the birth of Jesus. Both of them give different details. Both of them highlight different aspects. But both of them invite us to do the same as the shepherds, the nobodies, and these magoi, these magi, these wise ones who come from the east, the ones who represent the very best of science, the very best of learning, the very best of the academy, if you like, of that day. Both travel, both come to worship the Savior in the town of Bethlehem. Both offer their gifts of their love and their worship. What we learn from the visit of the Magi is this need to continue to discern for the very presence of God among us. The first thing in the favor of the Magi, even though they weren't Jews, even though they weren't people of the faith, even though they weren't expecting the sign of the Savior through reading the Scriptures, but they still were looking, they were searching, they were hungering for what is true. The Magi, in a sense, represent what should be the best of science. It should be about searching for things that are true, for bringing that truth into our own lives and our own experience. And this is the first gift of the Magi, that they search for signs of the presence of God. Even though they may not know exactly what they're looking for, they're prepared when they see this sign, this miraculous sign of this star or this angel of light or whatever it was, that guides them along this long journey, perhaps as for about 1,300 kilometers, which is the distance of the major trade route from Babylon to Jerusalem. So it would have perhaps taken them a couple of months at least to travel, if not longer. And so when they finally then come, despite all of these obstacles, despite all of these things that go against them, they continue to seek the truth. They go to the place of learning. They go to the temple, they go to the leaders of Jerusalem, the king of Jerusalem, to say, where is this child to be born? The star has guided us this far. Where do we go from here? And that's that also that sign for us. We need to keep searching. We need to keep hungering. We need to keep finding the way that the Lord might be leading us further into the mystery of his life, the mystery of his truth. And then Herod consults the scribes and the leaders to look through the Scriptures and see what is the prophecy, where in the Scriptures do they point the way to where the child will be born. And simply they say it's in Bethlehem, a distance of only a few kilometers away from Jerusalem. And so the Magi then continue in that final part of their journey. When they arrive, when they come into the house, when they bring their offerings to the Savior, to the little child, they offer him the gold because gold is the gift that is fit for a king. They offer him incense or frankincense because you use incense in the worship of God. And they offer him myrrh because you give myrrh for someone who is to die. Myrrh is used in the embalming of a body. So they recognize in these three gifts who this child is. They recognize that he is indeed the king. They recognize that he's worthy of worship. And they recognize that he has come to die. That despite them not being of the faith, despite the fact that they're outside of the promised people, the Lord is not constrained by boundaries. The Lord is not constrained by religion. The Lord will make himself present. The Lord will reveal himself as the light to the nations in whatever way he can, just as he did it back in that time to these magi. The Lord continues to reveal himself to us. The Lord hungers that we, like the magi, like the shepherds, will gather around the throne, will come and do our worship, will come and offer our gifts, will come and lay our lives at the altar, so that we also can experience the wonder and beauty of life with God. The final thing that we're told in the Gospel of Matthew today is that the Magi went back home by a different way, so that they wouldn't go back through Jerusalem, they wouldn't go back to reveal the location of the king to Herod, so that he would have him destroyed. But as Archbishop Fulton Sheen says, whenever we encounter the Lord, whenever we encounter Jesus, we're always changed. We're always different because of that encounter. And we can never go back. We can never be the same again. And so, of course, the Magi go back by a different way. Because in coming to meet Jesus, in coming to meet the Lord, they are changed and they have to go back by a different way. That's the invitation for us on this Sunday. To come like the Magi, to bring our gifts, to bring our knowledge, to bring our heartfelt desires, and to bring them all to Jesus, to worship him, to recognize him, and to proclaim him in the sight of all the nations.